You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Record Celtic podcast. My name is Daniel Caw and I'm delighted to be joined by Record Sports' Michael Gannon and Fraser Wilson. Guys, how are you?
Good, thanks. Afternoon, boys. How are we?
Very well. Good afternoon.
This is my favourite way to spend a lunchtime with you two gents. And obviously, we've got plenty to talk about this week, obviously, since we did a Celtic podcast last time. Michael, maybe start with yourself. Celtic are into the quarterfinals of the Scottish Cup now. They saw Raith Rovers, as you'd probably expect, but I thought it was really interesting, Ange Postecoglou's manner and demeanour after the game.
Yeah, we got a wee view of grumpy Ange after the game. Kind of strange. It was we heard them during the game. The first half, I mean, it was quite a low-key kind of tie. I mean, Parkhead was kind of half-empty, or half-full, however you want to look at it. Celtic weren't the great first half. A wee bit slow going through the gears. But Postecoglou was absolutely doing his dinger on the touchline at times, shouting the ball. And it was so quiet at times, you hear him shouting the ball and turning the air blue at times. A bit of lack of urgency in the team. Second half, much better. Came to life. Brought in likes of Jota and Maeda. Come on, made a difference, so to speak. Won the game quite comfortably. Got a bit of decisions from the referee right enough along the way. And then after the game, he came in to talk to the media as always, and kind of let rip really. Kind of gave his team a bit of a roasting in public. Listen, it was, but you know what he's doing. It's good management. He's just letting his squad know the standards are set high, and he won't let them dip. I think maybe the second half against Aberdeen, they weren't quite at it. First half against Raith Rovers, they weren't quite at it. I think he wanted just to give them a little bit of a jolt. They've been getting quite a lot of platitudes and a lot of praise of late, the way they've been playing. And managers don't like that. They like to score a bit of an edge on them. So I think he's given them a bit up the backside to go again. By all accounts, players that don't really reveal much about half-time team talks and dressing rooms and that stuff. But I think the manager had a few choice words to say at half-time on Sunday. But he knows he's got big games ahead. I mean, Bodo on Thursday night is huge, and he can't afford to have a flat performance. They have to be bang on it again, like they were in the first half against Rangers. So that's just the manager letting them know that it's not all tickety-boo, and there's still work to be done.
Right, absolutely. And Fraser, we've had the story on Record Sport Online since Sunday, that the clip of Ange, where he's very, you can hear him, you know, above all the fans that were in the stadium screaming. I think it was Stephen Welsh for passing it backwards. And it just kind of underlines, as Mick says, he's incredibly high standards.
Aye, I love that stuff. I think if you listen very clearly, I'm sure he still punctuates it with the word mate at the end of every sentence. But no, Mick's bang on. You know, managers are intelligent that way. The good ones wait for the right moment to have maximum impact. And I think this is the perfect time coming into the so-called business end of the season where Postecoglou's just thought, right, that was nowhere near the standards I set, and it's time to give these boys a boot up the backside. And as Mick said, if that was interesting, I would have loved to have been a fly in the wall at half-time and full-time, half-time in particular. But no, it's all about choosing the right time to have that maximum impact. And we all know Postecoglou's way of playing. And if the Rangers' performance was one end of the spectrum, that probably was the other end of the spectrum, that first 45 against Raith. So it's just driving his team forward ahead of the run of huge games that Mick mentioned there.
One player that I think it stood out almost like a crossroads game for me was Mikey Johnson. Now, he's 22 now. We all know that he just can't seem to escape injuries. He came off injured again in the second half of the weekend. And I do feel like, you know, I feel really bad for him, as I'm sure a lot of Celtic fans do. But there comes a point I don't know what you think, Mick, where, I don't know, he's still got 2 years left in his deal, but is it maybe time for him to look elsewhere, try and revitalise his career?
I don't know. I feel sorry for Mikey Johnson. I was down south in pre-season when he played against, I think it was Bristol City's training ground. It's a bounce game, one of the manager's first games in charge in pre-season, and he got a bad one and he came off, and he was right in front of us and you could see him going, oh, I think he said, oh no, not again. And he was devastated because he knew he had another injury. And that's been the kind of tale for him the last couple of years. He's been constantly injured. Everybody knows he's got ability. I mean, everyone's seen it. But as you say, he's now 22. Again, he looked pretty upset going off again on Sunday. It was kind of Sod's law. I mean, he beats a couple of guys, gets to the byline, gets him behind, sorry, and crosses it in. A chance was missed. But then it turns out that he was offside and gets injured as well. You think, God, if that doesn't just sum up Mikey Johnson's last couple of years. I mean, he gets himself offside for a start, which he shouldn't be when he's out wide. But he gets in behind, creates a chance, but comes to nothing, and he's injured. You're like, oh man, it's not again. So I think time is running out for him a wee bit. He's got a contract at Celtic, so he's still got time to kind of make an impact. But you think by now, everyone who spoke about him, Mikey Johnson was talked about as a 14, 15, 16-year-old. Remember the big fight with Ireland to get him? Scotland Island over his services. He was identified as a big prospect. I think he could have the following the footsteps of guys like Aidan McGeady and Sean Maloney, that kind of ilk. But he's not quite got to that level. But Matt, listen, successive managers have liked what they've seen with him. I mean, Brendan Rodgers liked him, Neil Lennon liked him, and Postecoglou spoke highly in the summer. Also, especially Lennon and Rodgers also were on top of him quite often about his not saying attitude, but maybe he's training, the way he treats training and all that stuff, and his application at times. Maybe it came too easy for him. But I think he did knuckle down in the background, and he did force himself back in. But these injuries now are just kind of piling up, and he's now become an injury-prone player. He's just not played enough. It's a guy, mate, he started the cup final, remember?
Aye.
So he's not exactly been completely in the bomb squad. But he's injured again. We don't know yet what the kind of severity is of this injury, but if it's another long-term one, then you think run out of chances now at Celtic, because they can't bank on him being available.
The other thing as well, Fraser, about Mikey Johnson is that, like Mike says, he's undoubtedly talented. He's a really talented player, and it was, I forget what year it was, but I remember there was a pre-season under Brendan Rodgers where it looked like Johnson was going to be a really key player for Celtic.
Aye.
And it's hard for me to, you know, I sort of said, is it time for it to move on? But then it's, you know, he's just had no luck with injuries. And when he goes off at the weekend and Jota comes on and does so well, that must have almost made it doubly kind of painful for him.
There's levels, isn't there? I mean, you mentioned the two players there. Can you really mention Mikey Johnson on the same level as Jota? Michael mentioned there his demeanour when he was coming off, and it was a real shame for him. It actually made me think it looked like he knew himself is possibly in last chance saloon at Celtic. He's definitely got that piece of magic, hasn't he? Which means he could be a valuable player for the run in this season. Coming off the bench, Spartan Celtic to life if they need that piece of magic. But long term, I just don't think Mikey Johnston, who'll turn 23, I think, before the end of the season, I don't think he's quite at the level that Celtic need going forward, or Postecoglou needs going forward. And as Mick said, he's been on the radar for coming up for a decade now, so it'll not be that long till he's midway through his playing career, and maybe for himself, the best thing would be to get a move, a fresh start elsewhere. He was linked to Aberdeen, wasn't he, in the last transfer window, a loan move up north, and something like that, just a fresh start, fresh management, could be the best thing for him and Celtic as well.
Well, hopefully he's not out for too long, hopefully it's not a bad one, but I suppose time will tell where Mikey Johnson ends up. But another player that I was quite impressed with against Raith Rovers at the weekend, and I've been impressed with every team I've seen him really, was Liam Scales at left-back. And I know Greg Taylor has been much more improved in his form this season, I think. But if I was Ange Postecoglou and there was a cup final tomorrow, say, I'm not so sure who you'd go with. I don't know. What do you think, Mick?
No, I think you go with Greg Taylor. I think Greg Taylor's a... international defender, and he's played well against Belgium and all these teams and all that stuff. He played in Europe. He's come back from injury. He's been really playing well. Greg Taylor. So I think he is the main man in that position at the moment. I think Scales has got a lot of potential. I mean, he scored an absolute cracker. Mm-hmm. But he's still learning to play at a club like Celtic, still learning the role. Obviously, the fullback roles at Celtic, we know, aren't the typical kind of fullback roles. And the fact that he scored, it popped up in the inside left channel and puts one in the top corner. That's not a position that left backs tend to end up, unless you're playing with Celtic, but you end up in there quite a lot. At times, I think he's looked good. He's got a good delivery on him. He's put in some decent balls when he's played. Scored a couple of goals now as well. So I think he looks the part. I mean, he's got the height, physique. I think a lot of development still to come in him. So I think there is a prospect. I don't think he's maybe got that pace and engine as yet. I think with Greg Taylor, he'll charge up and down that flank all day as well. But that might come. I mean, so he's only young. He's not been that long in professional football. Liam Scales either, so he's still on a bear in that sense. So he's a good prospect. I think he's in the right place. I think he'll learn a lot about the game, the all round game playing with this Celtic squad, because I think the demands on the fullbacks are so high. He'll become an all round better player for it, because there's not many fullbacks that get the ball on the half turn. Usually it's all in front of them. They charge up the line back. They're all straight lines fullbacks, aren't they? They don't tend to kind of have a back to goal at any point in time, whereas at Celtic you do, because you'll be in the middle of the park, taking a ball to your feet and asking it to turn and then passing it on, which is not what fullbacks tend to do. There's a reason why they play fullback. I mean, they're just running straight lines all day. That's a talk from the 11 years old.
As a field right back, I can confirm that is true.
Listen, field backs aren't taught to take the ball in a half turn. This is not. I mean, it's not something in Scotland they would do. Maybe in Holland when it's total football. It's different in Scotland.
Even Raj Postecoglou at the wheel. I've not seen that more and more. The so-called inverted fullback.
That's what I'm saying. This is what I have to do, Fraser. I mean, listen, know yourself. If you're playing in goal, you'd never roll a ball out to a fullback who's 30 yards in the field, but he's back at the middle of the park. The guy would come back and berate you for it.
I wouldn't roll a fullback, a ball out to any fullbacks I've played with anyway, mate.
Aye, that's true. I'm really feeling it.
If obviously I do get that it might be a wee bit early to call Scales in as a first pick, but if anything, Fraser, it kind of underlines the new strength and depth that Celtic have, because I remember there was a game just before Christmas when they played Hearts at Celtic Park and they won 1-0. Kyogo scored a dubious offside goal, but they were really hanging on and they were really down at the bare bones. Remember, I think, is it Michael Dawson's nephew? I forget his first name now, which is really bad. But remember, he was in the squad, he started the game as well, and you almost thought Celtic really need to get to the January transfer. Now, they've got, you know, a plethora of options. We saw the financial results the other day, 25 million quid in the bank, and it almost looks as though they've got all that money there, and they've almost done the rebuild, kind of.
I suppose a lot of folk were saying that the one clear area they needed to strengthen was left back not so long ago. Is that right? And I hate agreeing with Mick and everything, but it's Greg Taylor all day long for me.
Not so much sense. That's
what I know. I mean, will I just leave this podcast now and leave it to the main man? Aye. Greg Taylor all day long for me. What's that?
I keep trying to get you to fall out.
I know. I'll just say Liam Scales then. He's got more physicality about him, maybe. Can fill in at centre half. Aye. Liam Scales, he should be playing left back. But no, I do feel like Graham Taylor. Now, that would be a turn up for the books. Greg Taylor has had a bit of a raw deal at Celtic. It's never quite won over the fan base yet, but I think if he was to get a solid run in the team, he could be a Celtic left-back for years to come. I mean, as Mick rightly says, he's a Scotland international for a reason. It gives you at both ends, I think. He was always a player that caught my eye at Kilmarnock. And for me, he's the best option there out of that squad, and a right solid Scottish Premiership footballer.
No, I think that's fair enough, to be honest. The other things I wanted to talk about, one of the most read stories we've had on Record Sport Online, away from Sunday's game, is reigning MLS champion Ronnie Dyla. He's been talking about his time at Celtic, and he's kind of, I don't know if I'd put it as owned up a wee bit, but said that too many of his signings were just average. That was the word he used to describe it. And I almost feel like Ronnie Dyla became a bit of a cult hero at Celtic, but see if you actually look at his team, it's pretty rotten, to be honest. Like Colin Kazim Richards and Carlton Cole up front, and I don't know, I thought his comments were pretty spot on, to be honest.
He also had your Dedrick Boyata. He never got the same tune out of Scott Brown that Brendan Rodgers did. Stuart Armstrong, Craig Gordon in goals. He didn't have that bad a team.
I mean,
Virgil van Dijk.
When Rodgers came in after him, he didn't really change that much of the team. He brought in a couple of quality players, Sinclair and Dembele. I just feel like nostalgia kind of plays tricks in the mind a wee bit. I feel like Dial is lauded a wee bit when, in actual fact, the team's pretty ropey.
Well, what was his words, Roy Dyla?
He just admitted that he had too many average players to be successful the way that Ange now is.
I don't think he got quite the same financial backing that Rodgers and Lennon and now Postecoglou has had since then, purely because of the circumstances that he found himself in with there's no Rangers in the league those two seasons. I'm not saying there was downsizing, there's a bit more kind of caution in terms of the finances at that point in time. The Celtic didn't go hell for leather as such in terms of the league, but he had some good players. I think Ronnie done okay. I mean, I really liked Ronnie Dyla as a guy. I dealt with him quite a lot, and he was an absolute gem of a guy. I think the job was too big for him at that time. He was only 38 at the time as well. He told us once, we asked him maybe a few months in the job about the kind of media scrutiny he was under at Celtic. And he said when he worked at Strong Godset, he said once a week some guy would come up from Oslo, some reporter, he'd have a cup of tea and sit and do his pre-match press in his office. And he walked in at Celtic, there was about 100 journalists the first day. he handled that pretty well. I thought he'd done okay. There's a kind of story. The story now goes that he was denied a treble by the referee. I'm not sure I quite buy that either, because it's a poor decision. But I don't know, not getting a penalty and doesn't mean you're going to completely lose the game. Do you know what I mean? I mean, the man sent off that day. I think Craig Gordon sent off that day, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that was only the semi final, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah.
So I don't quite subscribe to that. And by the way, I think I done a wee thing at that time. I think the 10 players sent off in two seasons I think it was 10, 11 players sent off in two seasons. I think they won three of the games. And the following two seasons, there were about three or four guys sent off under Brendan Rodgers and never lost a game with 10 men, including going to Ibrox as well, which is basically the sign of a good manager. If you can win with 10 men, it's proper management. Ronnie, I said, a good guy, won't hear much of a bad word against him. I don't think he should be lauded as some sort of managerial great. Done well since he left New York, obviously. I think he's right to say that he did have some average players that came in, but again, I think he did have some pretty decent ones as well. I think Fraser said that. Stuart Armstrong, Van Dijk's, and these kind of guys.
Tom Rodgick, didn't he?
Right.
Tom Rodgick, all these guys were all there.
One of the reasons why I want to talk about this as well, just because I don't really want a big can of arms, right, but Ronnie Dyla and people like that, doing the Ronnie Rod and stuff like that, just get a wee bit of a pet peeve, like, about stuff like that. It's all, like, style, and there wasn't much substance behind it. And another one as well, like, who's just became a massive cult hero for Celtic fans, and I'm going to get tons of stick for this, I know, but Artur Boric, right? He was brilliant for a year.
Are you just picking fans' favourites and just leathering them? This is your ploy here. Peter Latchford, by the way. Peter Latchford.
We may edit this out. If this is still
in. How far back are we going to go? Who are the guys you just don't like?
I just mean on social media, I always feel like Boric is still regarded as a hero. He was great for a year, but I felt like for about 2 years, every time he played, he was throwing the ball in the back of the net and just wasn't interested and wasn't a great pro. And I feel like Dyla, when I read his quotes yesterday, I kind of felt like he maybe just kind of gets a wee bit of a kind of lauded by Celtic fans, who maybe doesn't deserve it. And I get I'm being a wee bit harsh, and I realise I will get a lot of stick. But Fraser, if you could be
leave Ronnie alone, leave Ronnie. Ronnie's a good guy. Leave Ronnie.
I'm more surprised at Artur Boric, when the guy's the genius between the sticks.
Oh, I used to do my thing.
The best goalkeepers make the best blunders, and the odd blunder he made was absolutely top draw.
Aye. Oh, definitely. I definitely agree with that one, Fraz.
John Rankin Squiggler.
obviously, a big game that we've mentioned coming up on Thursday in the Europa Conference League. Again, another really well-read story on Record Sport Online last week was about how, since the knockout draws have been made, 25% of all bets to win the Conference League has been Celtic. People backing Celtic to go all the way. Now, Mick, if we'd said in the summer Celtic would be, you know, amongst some of the best back teams to go win a European trophy, you know, you'd be taken away in a straitjacket.
Oh, without a doubt. But they came a long way since the summer, right enough. I mean, the whole entire team's changed since then. I think that's a bit, it's a wee bit early to start talking about winning this competition.
Aye.
I mean, I think you look at, there's still Roma, Marseille, Leicester are in there.
Michelin,
Fenerbahce.
PSV. That's a strong lineup.
There's some tasty sides in there. It depends on how serious they treat it as well. Because let's be honest, it is the kind of weird half cousin competition, isn't it? It's, we don't really know where this is in the priority list. When these teams, a lot of these teams might be competing to get into a Champions League spot at that time, so they might not be that bothered about the Europa Conference League. So that could open the door. But then again, Celtic could be going for the league title at that point in time, and that might not be the priority at that point either. I think it probably should be, because it's a European competition. It's a chance to keep going. I always think Europe should be the big priority, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And even winning it, I think winning it gets a place in the Europa League next year, so even that isn't really the reward that anyone would really be after. That's a boo prize for teams like Celtic and Rangers in Scotland. But they can't look beyond Bodø/Glimt, because this is a difficult tie against a team that's done really well in the last kind of 2 years. Listen, they've been kind of pillaged a little bit in recent times. I mean, the team that beat Roma 6-1, they've lost a couple of players. They lost their captain, the boy Berg, and the main striker went to Krasnodar for £4.5 million, the blonde time. So they've been seriously weakened in January. They're also in pre-season mode. They haven't played a competitive game since December. The season doesn't start till April. But they've got this. They're one of these fashionable teams in Europe right now. They play a certain way. They're strong, aggressive. I went to see them on a spy trip, and they're pretty big. They're massive as well, which puts Celtic, I think, in danger of the old set piece problems again they've had at times. And they'll play a certain way. I think they actually play kind of similar to Celtic as well. They go 4-3-3, kind of up and at them kind of thing. So I think they'll have a right good go. So it could be another one of these European ties that Celtic now seem to be serving up every week. It's the kind of bonkers any score will do type thing. So it could be interesting.
Fraser, we're recording this on Tuesday, and today is the 4-year anniversary of Celtic's last victory in any kind of knockout European tie. I think I'm right in saying that. It was the 1-0 win against Zenit.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, their last knockout win was in 2004 against Barcelona. Now, for a club like Celtic, that's not good enough. I would say, like Mick says, I think there has to be more emphasis on European competition.
Especially when you think of the likes of Copenhagen and some of the teams they've crashed out to. Nah, so Mick's got the advantage. I haven't seen Bodø/Glimt in the flesh. I've only read about them, and what I've read about them, they have lost to star men. They sound like a typical, don't sound ignorant to the fact here, but they do sound like a typical Scandinavian side that will pose problems. I think if Celtic go at this game 100%, they really should be looking to take a 2 or 3 goal lead over to the second leg with them. And I think the prestige it would come from getting deep into this competition, and its inaugural year, is worth its weight. It's worth Celtic putting everything into this competition, because the further you go in Europe, it has knock-on effects for the domestic game as well, and I just think it would keep their season rolling along quite nicely. But in terms of this tie, treat it with the utmost respect, and I think Celtic should be looking at a comfortable victory to take over to the second leg with them.
I think
your face there, Michael. You've seen this. You've seen Bodø/Glimt. They're basically coming out the pre-season, though. That you've got to look at that as well.
You're giving this lot. No, never heard of this mob. Should be getting clattered.
that does sound a bit ignorant, doesn't it?
This is a team that's won the title in Norway 2 years in the bounce, and they drew two each in the Stadio Olimpico against Roma, as well as beating them 6-1 at home.
Is it the same team, though?
No. No. Well, it's pretty much the same same nuts and bolts.
Aye, Nutson, is that not the captain?
He's going to get banned from Norway. But they're a good side. They play their own way. That's not quite the same way we'd expect, like a Rosenborg to play and all that stuff. It's a bit like the old Ange ball that Celtic's doing now as well. Their manager's got a bit about him. I can understand why there's a lot of talk about him across the continent, because he is doing something a bit different. Nobody really tells you what they're actually doing. A lot of it's analytics, a lot of psychology. They got a guy who was in the Norwegian Air Force, a pilot, who is now their motivational coach or something like that. So he comes in and he tells them how to be Top Guns and all that stuff. But they just think outside the box, this team. And they're going to be really dangerous. I think it could be one of these 2-3-2 jobs on Thursday night. I think it could be one of these kind of end-to-end kind of thrillers. If you're right for us and it's 3-0, Celtic would snap the hand off right here now. But I think it'll be tougher than that.
I think if it's 2-2 or even 3-2, then it could be good night for Celtic in this competition. I think they need something a bit comfier than that to take across for them.
Maybe. No way goals right enough, remember?
Oh. It doesn't count. I get that. I know.
I don't think it'll be... I mean, the conditions out there are pretty tough as well. It's Arctic Circle. Mm-hmm. But I don't think... I think it's weirdly not that cold. I say relative. It's not like minus 20. It's only minus 10 or not. It's not that bad. But I think it's a kind of windy venue. It's not going to be a terrifying atmosphere mm-hmm. out there. I think both games will be the same. I think both games are hell for leather. An absolute bun fight.
How about this for a scenario, right? Leicester struggling in the Premier League. 11th. Rodgers under a wee bit of pressure. Celtic Leicester in the last 16. Celtic put him out. Any chance that'll happen? Look at both your faces. Just
leave that for the final.
Oh, that'd be good. That'd be good. Leicester have got Randers of Denmark, just for what it's worth. Right, I'm going to put you both in the spot before we finish, because I know he's like when I do that. So, Mick, will Celtic get through the tie?
I think they will, but it's going to be a roller coaster ride. I think it could be something ridiculous in terms of scoreline.
Would you think, Fraser?
7-5 or something silly.
that's the two-goal advantage I spoke about. Well, I've got to stick to my guns now, haven't I? I don't know, 3-1 across the two legs to Celtic.
For what it's worth, I can agree with you, Mick. I think, remember the Cluj try a couple of years ago? It was just crazy. It was like 6-4 in aggregate or something like that, something silly. And I think it'll be goals. I think it'll be a good game anyway on Thursday.
I think Celtic have seriously tightened up at the back and are now no longer the jokers. That they were once accused of. Joe Hart's influence in that team's massive. It might sound like I'm completely ignorant to Bodo Glimt, and in many respects, I suppose I am, but I can see Celtic getting a two-goal advantage to take across to Norway, which will be enough to see them through.
Sorry, I meant to ask this just before, but Mick, do you think Christopher Julien will play any part?
No.
Nah, just too soon?
Too soon. Right. Yeah, he only played, 15 minutes the other day.
Just thought when you were saying there about the set pieces that he might be quite handy to have, but
I wouldn't have thought so. I think he's still a bit away yet. I think he's to build up a bit. I think it was good to see him back for the guy personally, because it's a long time, 14 months. But I think it's too big a game to throw him into it from the start. And plus, listen, Cameron Carter-Vickers and Carstorff have played pretty well.
Aye.
They've been excellent domestically. Europe's different level, and Celtic in Europe have been kind of wild and wacky at times this season. Obviously, the first half of the season, a lot of problems in terms of personnel, which meant it was always going to be a bit wild and wacky. But it'll be interesting to see it. I think Celtic could do a kind of more mature performance, like Fraser's talking about, in a 2-0 win or something like that would be ideal. But I just think the way Bodo play, they might not allow it. And I think Celtic might just think it's best just go toe-to-toe and see who's got the best firepower. And if that's the case, I think Celtic would have the edge. But that could mean that there will be goals at either end, which is what Ange Postecoglou quite likes. If Celtic win 3-1, 4-2, 7-5, or whatever it is, a 10-21-er, as we had when I was a kid. I think he'd be quite happy with that. So, yeah, strap yourself in.
Right, fingers crossed it'll be a great game. Mick Fraser, it's...
Stick the house on nothing each now. After
I know!
Put the mortgage on nothing each.
Mick Fraser, as always, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining. And for everyone listening, we'll be back next week. Cheers.